Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Are you glad to be in the house of God today? What a good atmosphere. I sense God in the room and stuff. And just so y'all know, if you've never heard me preach, I can be all over the place, all right? So just try to stay with me. I love having the freedom to see what God's doing in the room and kind of feel it out and go where he wants us to go. But I sense his presence already here. And I just love the fact that the local church, you will never go wrong by investing your life in the local church. It's the best investment you can possibly make. And I've staked my life on it. I've staked experience on it. I stand firm with that proclamation because I've seen the fruitfulness of God to those who have connected to his house and through his to his heart. If you don't know, Pastor Richard is our senior pastor, as he said, and he is in Iceland right now. And so he's on a mission. He's on, I think, 80-something nations. He's got the promise of 100. But he's in Iceland right now, and it's one of the first nations that we love that place. I think he's been there over 20 times or so. I've been there probably 10 or 12 times, and it was just one of those places that it captures your heart. It's Iceland. It's, like, so random, right? So the first time I went in 93, it's the first time in my life I ever felt like an absolute alien. Because on the whole continent, I was the only black face. I mean, literally, there were no black people. And so the kids would come up to me and they wanted to touch my skin. And it was all up in my hair. I had the flat top at the time. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. I learned to eat fish in Iceland. I mean, it was awesome. But understand that what God does here is not exclusively for here. Right, the word that's on our house, the word that's in our pastor, the just the apostolic strength that's on his life, it's not just for this pulpit, it's for the nations of the earth. So when we send him out, just know that you're going with him in spirit. You're accomplishing what he's accomplishing. You're eating the dark chocolate licorice that was just nasty in Iceland. Black licorice covered in chocolate. Anybody know that? Yeah, so that wasn't the best part. So anyways, I digress. But today, we're gonna pick up where he left off last week. And we're talking about this concept of night shift. But he said that the overview of the messages are talking about the concept of spiritual warfare. And it's interesting to me because I think when you've been doing something for a long time, you have a lot of phrases and terms and ways of thinking that are just normal to you. But I realize that when you speak about this concept of spiritual warfare, it might be unusual for people. That might be something that's a little uncomfortable for you because you've never really heard those terms. And so I just want to first of all say, I want to de-spookify the concept of spiritual warfare. It's not weird. As a matter of fact, you're probably doing it and you don't even know you're doing it. But we're going to go ahead and define it for you this month because I believe that that's kind of where God's calling the church back to. Pastor Richard kind of gave an overview just as a general definition. He said that spiritual warfare is overcoming resistance and manifesting our God-given promises. So in a nutshell, spiritual warfare is you having the ability to overcome the things that resist you, but also taking a hold of the promises that belong to you because you are a child of God. That is good news. The other part, he started in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll jump in there, and then I've got some of the verses for you. But the text was 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, grace and peace. Somebody say peace. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us, say all things. So peace in all things, we're going to tie that together, that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who calls us by glory and virtue. Verse 4 says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature of God. And I love this. It says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, we're going to look into that verse a little strong, but let's just pray right quick. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the prayer. We're going to look into this concept of peace and grace. Because I believe, as a believer, one of the greatest battles that you are going to face for the rest of your life. As a matter of fact, I'll read the quote that I wrote. I believe that the greatest battle that we will face for the entirety of our lives is the battle to maintain true peace. Yes. So if you're a note taker, the title of my message today is The Fight for Peace. We're fighting to stay in a place of true peace. And the thing that you need to understand is that peace is not the absence of conflict. Having peace doesn't mean that you're not going to have some stuff that you got to go through, overcome. That's why I was happy to be able to sing that song today. I trust in God because I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered my prayer. Because guess what? The rains come and the winds blow and life happens and situations are a part of what we have to walk through. But we can have divine peace in the middle of all of our circumstances. Like, you got to catch that, because to me, that's the great divide between me as someone who has invested again their lives in God and people who don't know who Jesus is. We see turmoil all around us, but I believe part of the posture of a believer is that we're not immune to going through stuff, but in the middle of those circumstances, we can have a peace that surpasses our understanding. Anxiety, depression, heaviness, all these catchphrases that we hear all over the place. A lot of times that's just people who haven't been able to tap into the supernatural power of God through peace in your life. So we're talking about peace this morning. I'll read that verse again. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Jump down to John chapter 16, verse 33, and that's where our text is today. So John chapter 16, verse 33 in the Amplified says this: I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect what?
Peace.
Peace and confidence. In the world you will have. Now this is not Debbie Downer, gloomy, doomy, whatever, but this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, in the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. And then it goes on to define that a little further. Tribulation, pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, adversity, crushing, squashing, squeezing. Has anybody ever felt that in your life? You got all this stuff going on. Pressure, stress, anxiety, squashing, squeezing, it went in to say. He says, you're gonna have those things. But here's the thing. So I am not a fan of being spoiled or having spoiler alerts. Let me put it that way. I don't like spoiler alerts. If I'm watching a show or I'm in a series or I'm investing my time and my energy, don't tell me what happens on episode 3. I don't want to know that my favorite person didn't make it or he got in trouble, right? I want to invest. I want to watch it. I want to enjoy it. I don't like the previews, right? I don't want to see the recap. I want to be in the moment. I don't like spoiler alerts typically, but for me, this is the best part of this passage to me, because Jesus gives us a spoiler alert. And he says, trials are coming, tribulations are coming, stress is coming, pressure is coming, anxiety is coming. You're going to be squeezed and squozed and squashed. Is squoze a word? You're going to have all the stuff. These things are coming. But look what he says on the bottom of this verse. He says, but, somebody say, but be of good cheer. Wow. The pressure I'm facing, the stuff we're going through, the times where it seems overwhelming, insurmountable, he says, hey, but I want you to be of good cheer. You know why? Take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted, because I have overcome everything that you are facing. It's not real deep, but when I tell you the peace that I have going into scenarios that seem overwhelming to me is absolutely in knowing that God's already been there before. He's experienced it. He's walked it out. He paid for it for you on the cross. He went through all the stuff that we had to, that we will go through to take it away from us. He's already walked it out. And that's the peace that we can have in those scenarios. It says here, be of good courage, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, because I've overcome the world. I love this part. He says, I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Amen. Yeah. So what you're going through, all those things, those situations, those positions you find yourself in, he's saying, I've already conquered it for you. And I've taken the power of it from having the ability to harm you. I've conquered it for you. Let's define peace a little bit further, and I'll explain here. Peace, by definition, so bigger than the squeezing, squashing, oppression, pressure, all that. Peace is this: to be safe, sound, healthy, perfect, complete. If you're going back to the Old Testament, many of you will know the word shalom, right? That's encompassing these things. To be, it signifies a sense of well-being and harmony within and without. I'm going to say that, without and within. Around you and within you, there's a signifying of a sense of well-being and harmony both within and without. Completeness, wholeness, peace, health, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, fullness, rest, harmony. Are you getting it? The absence. I love this part. Peace is, by definition, the absence of agitation or discord. Watch this. Within. In other words, there can be stuff going on all around you, and something inside of you just says, peace. Peace. There's craziness all around. Peace within. That's part of the definition. We'll finish up here. A state of calm without anxiety or stress. This is what God has promised us for those who are believers in him. And your whole life is you fighting to maintain peace in the middle of your circumstances. I've said that 10 times this morning already. Your whole life is going to be you fighting to maintain the promises of God that belong to you, but to have peace in the middle of your stuff. And part of the way you obtain that peace is through this concept of warfare. Now, let me explain something. We are, as pastors, we love you, and we do everything we can. We lay our lives down for you as best we can. We carry you in our hearts and in our prayers and in our thoughts. We want to see you flourish and live the best lives that you possibly can. But can I explain to you that as somebody who, this isn't a job to us, it's a ministry, right? So we don't have a 9-to-5 punch the clock at 5 o'clock and then I ain't worried about y'all anymore. It doesn't happen for us. So it's a part of what we carry, and we love it. And we're not sad about it. We're grateful for it. I couldn't be more happy to do what I do. I'm grateful for this position. But here's the thing. We've learned that in order to be able to do this for a really long time at a really high level, that we have to be intentional about rest. We have to be intentional about it. We got to fight for it. We got to make sure that that's a part of the posture of our lives. So you may not know this, but Mondays is our day off. So on Mondays, I try my best. I mean, I get up, I try to get my workout in. That is a sacrifice to get up there and get in there. But when I'm done, I get to go home, I get to get a shower, and I'm about to chill the rest of the day. I might do some shopping. I might watch some series. I might, whatever it is. We're trying to rest on a Monday because we love you, but not on Monday. Okay? Love you this much every other day. Monday, no, just kidding. We don't mess with you on Mondays. So we're all in a fight for peace, right? To maintain our peace. So this past Monday, this is how it works for me. God always gives me a story or some type of situation. But this past Monday, I had done my stuff. I got my workout in. I'm about to chill. I'm on the couch. I'm about to watch something. I can't even remember what it was. And all of a sudden, I'm laying there. I got my new ice machine maker that makes Sonic ice. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It was the best invention ever. You know what I'm talking about? The Sonic ice? Oh, it was so good. So I'm chilling, and I'm laying there, and Chris, all of a sudden, I hear, I'm like, nah, that must be the new ice machine. Making a sound I never heard. I'm like, nah, this can't possibly be. So I'm just laying, doing my thing. Oh, let me give you a little bit of backstory. So I'm born and raised in Iowa. In Iowa, there's a lot of corn. Where there's a lot of corn, there are a lot of flies. So I became a ninja. Capturing flies, man. If there's a fly anywhere within my vicinity, that sucker might as well start reading his own eulogy or whatever. Praying to his demon god, because I believe flies are from hell, right? So he's going to meet his maker if he's anywhere near my vicinity. People who know me will tell you. And I don't like taking some fly swat or something. I like to catch it. I know the whole thing. You get right about here, you snatch it up. And I usually will throw it against the wall. It's a fly. It's from hell. Can't possibly be a fly in my house. Laying there for a few more minutes, and I'm like, oh my God, I hear it. I'm in spiritual warfare. Because I can't see it, but I can hear it. Right? I can't put a finger on it, but I know it's there. And what it's trying to do is steal my peace. Right? It's trying to take a hold of this moment of rest that I know I need, that I know that if I don't rest on Monday, I got a full week. I got stuff. I'm preparing to preach this Sunday. We're dealing with stuff with construction. I got stuff with the accountant. We got all these things that I'm going on. And I'm like, I know that I can't have my peace stolen in this moment. And so I had to make a decision. I had to make a choice. And I said, okay, I'm going to put a cover over my right ear. Can I process this in front of y'all? Because to hear the sound drives you crazy. And so I'm like, all right, I'm gonna see if I can find this sucker. And sure enough, I put the cover over, I look up, and my room is set up kind of like an alcove. So I'm like, there's no way he's going to come. There's 2,000 other square feet that fly could possess, but he's going to come right where I am. So he comes in, and sure enough, onto the wall. So I get up and look for a fly swatter, which I cannot find. And I said, I'm finna take this thing out with my hands. But guess what, Norm? He's hidden behind a bookshelf so you can see him, but you can't get to him. I'm telling you how the devil works. Right? You know he's there. You know you got to take care of it. You got to figure out how to get to the thing, but you can't quite get to it. So my next step was, all right, let me find a sweat towel, which I have an abundance of around my premises. So I get up. He comes out, he's back in the corner, I take the towel, and I miss him, and I'm fighting and moving, and I can't get a hold of this fly. And then I have to keep making a decision. Am I going to ignore it, or am I going to choose to fight, because this thing is trying to steal my peace. Are you getting where I'm going, heading here? What am I going to do? Am I going to just leave him alone? Am I going to just let it take away the grace that I have for this day? Or am I going to decide that there's something about a warfare that I'm choosing to enter into this battle? And the thing that crossed my mind is like, there's no way he's going to keep coming back. And guess what he did? He kept coming back. There's no possible way he's going to keep. About every 3-4 minutes, he showed up again. I'm hitting it. I'm at a heart resting rate with my Apple Watch at about 72. By the time I get to that thing, I'm at 136. Full workout. Da-doom, 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 da-doom. I'm fighting and moving and da-da. And I got to the place where, and I'm getting somewhere, and hopefully you're tracking already, but I got to the place where I said, you know what? There's enough people in the church that are carpenters. Because if I find this thing in a spot on my wall that I can use my hand, I do not mind putting a hole in my wall to keep my peace. You might know what I'm talking about. So this is the way you have to posture yourself sometimes with the enemy. First of all, he doesn't fight fair. Second of all, he's not going to always fully expose himself and show you who he is, but he's working behind the scenes. Third of all, sometimes you can't just rest to get your peace. Sometimes you got to fight to get your peace. So warfare is not weird. It's not spooky. It's not some deep theological thing. It's just you saying, listen, sometimes it can seem circumstantial, and sometimes you know it's the devil. Can I say that to you? Sometimes it can be situations with your kids or your body or your finances or your health or whatever else it is. And there are things that are natural things of life. We live in a fallen world. There's stuff that happens. But sometimes, if you understand that we are not wrestling just with flesh and blood, but we're dealing with stuff that can oftentimes be deeper than what you see at surface level. And sometimes you gotta pick a fight with the fly. So 4 or 5 times in, missed him with the towel, missed him with the towel. Went to the corner, couldn't snatch him, couldn't grab him. I'm fine. I was wishing there was a video of me. Because I looked like I had to look straight up crazy. but I was just determined. You're not stealing my joy, man. You're not taking my peace. You're not taking. Look at this verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That there can be peace in the middle of it. So finally, to close on that story, I said, I can't just let this whole day be sucked away by something that I have now identified. And I'm having trouble getting to it, but I know that there's a way to end this thing. So 2 or 3 more minutes in, I made that decision, cornered that sucker, got him to a spot where I knew that I'd taken the time. I'd missed him, and I'd missed it, and I'd missed it. And so I got my strategy right, and I got my Iowa Ninja stuff alive. And I took that sucker as best I could, and I saw him sitting, and I thought, there's no way he's just going to sit there taunting me. Yeah, he did. That's what the devil does. That's what he does. He keeps coming back to the same thing that you've been struggling with over and over again. He just shows up again. There's no way. I've defeated that. No, he's going to come back. He's going to keep knocking on the door. Right? Over and over again. Oh, but God, I want to be free. And you're free for a minute. He knocks on the door. Yeah, he comes back. He's subtle. He's sneaky. And then sometimes he's just overt. So he stops on the wall. I get to the wall, and finally, with all the might that I have, thinking, God, I'm going to have to call somebody to fix this wall. Bam! Got that sucker and show them the results of warfare ending, please. Show them. Show them. I went as far as to take a picture of him. Because he was not going to steal my joy or my peace or my rest. Sometimes you got to pick a fight, leave it up the whole rest of the service. The whole time. Sometimes you got to fight. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's not deep. It's not super spiritual. It's like, okay, enough already. I'm going through the same battle with my wife or my husband. It's the same thing with my child. It's the same thing with my finances. Sometimes it's like, wait a minute. There are natural circumstances, but sometimes it's the devil. He's poking at you. Trying to steal your joy. Steal your hope. Steal your rest. Still the promise that God gave us that we can have peace in the middle of our battles. And I see it all the time, and it breaks my heart for folks who are weary and stressed out and burdened and overcome and just all this stuff that they can't get out of. And I'm like, just fight, just fight. My nature, I'm a nice guy. I am. I don't love confrontation. But I don't run from confrontation. Can I say that to y'all? I know that a lot of men are oftentimes we're built where we would just rather not have to have the fight. And can I tell you, if the enemy can get you to posture yourself that way when it concerns your family, come on, or your kids, or your marriage, or your finances, or whatever it is that you walk through in your life, and you're just like, I just don't want to fight. Well, let the bzz, bzz, bzz. Sometimes you just have to say, no, I know what the word says about this. I know what God's promises are for me about this scenario. Sometimes you just have to choose. You just got to be like, I'm telling y'all, there was a moment in me, I'm like doing the thing. I'm like, come on, Cletus. Right? You might fly over, but you're going to limp. No, you're going to limp back. Some of y'all know that. But there was something in me that was just like, I can't let you steal my joy. Some of you just need to fight. You're nice, demure, precious people. And sometimes you just got to say, I'm not letting this go anymore. So for me, with the fly, it was doing the thing. Sometimes spiritually, and I'll come in for a landing here, but the last few weeks, I'm just going to be honest with y'all. We get up here, and we're so not perfect. We got stuff going on. I didn't feel like myself for the last, it was like for probably about 3 weeks. I just was like, I just felt like I was, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. It wasn't something specific that happened necessarily. You know, I mean, life happens. I got a lot of things going on in my own life, finances and whatnot. But it wasn't something that should have taken me off of my center and my fullness of peace. And at one point, I just had to get in God's face and say, Lord, your word promised me in 2 Peter that you've given me all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And right now, this burden that I'm feeling, this not feeling like myself, this thing that is trying to zzz around me, I now stop and take authority over that in the name of Jesus. I didn't have to yell. I didn't have to punch a wall. I had to use the word of the Lord and the promises of God of freedom and apply that victory so I could walk in my own peace. I've got 4 minutes left, and I'm going to give you 4 things real quick, and we'll shut down here. How to fight for your peace. Number one, first of all, Sometimes you have to choose to engage. We already covered it. You have to choose to engage. You don't want to fight. I would much rather have laid on the couch and just not had to fool with that thing. But at one point, I had to choose to engage. And just please know this, church. No matter what your personality is, if you are on the face of the earth, if you're on the globe, and you are, obviously, you're in a war anyways. You're already enlisted. You can't get away from the stuff that you're going to have to come against. So you might as well just take up your armor and go ahead and choose to fight. Number two, remember that you have all the weapons that you need. You got everything, your arsenal. You want to know how to get your marriage stronger? It's in the Word. You want to know how to get your finances better? It's in the Word. You want to know how to raise your kids? It's in the Word. You want to know how to deal with your health? It's in the Word. All the stuff you need, the promises of God. I love that promise. They are in the Word of God. You have all the weapons that you need. Number three, you have to make, and this is what I want to show you another verse. We have to make a proper assessment of the enemy. And let me just say this to you. One of the things that we oftentimes can do, we can either overestimate his power and be like, oh, he's everywhere, and I have no authority, and there's nothing I can do, and it's just the circumstance I'm in. Or sometimes we go to the other extreme, and we underestimate the power that he does have. And I thought this verse was so powerful. I've preached this in Bible school as it pertains to praise and worship, but we'll close here. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 through 17, in the Message, it says this. You said to yourself, this is the Bible giving an allegorical picture of Lucifer or Satan. It says, you said to yourself, I'll climb to heaven. I'll set my throne up over the stars. I'll run the assembly of angels that meet on sacred Mount Zephon. I'll climb to the top of the clouds. I'll take over as king of the universe. This is what the enemy says of you. This is what the enemy says in your scenario. But verse 17 says, or 15 says, but you didn't make it, devil, did you? But you didn't make it, did you? It says, instead of climbing up, you came down, down with the underground dead, down to the abyss of the pit. Now, here's the thing that I've seen this verse many times. It says, down to the abyss of the pit. People will stare at you and muse, and they will say, can this be the one who terrorized the earth and its kingdoms? Turned into and its kingdoms turned earth to a moonscape, wasted its cities, shut up the prisoners to living death. What the Bible's saying here is when you see the enemy for who he truly is, you understand he's not what he's made himself out to be. It's not. When you start to actually see, the Bible says you're going to, at some point, you're going to muse at him. You're going to gaze on him. You're going to be like, and you're going to, I don't want you to get to the end of your, let me settle down. I don't want you to get to the end of your life having gone through whatever it was that you've been through, and you find yourself saying, that was it? That's what caused me to lose my peace, my joy, my family, my health. That? That's what the Bible says. It says he was brought to the ground, to the earth, to the abyss. I don't want you to end up forgetting that the power of God that's invested in you is so much greater than what the enemy could ever throw at you. Oh, he's greater. He's stronger. You don't have to fall prey to addiction. I keep thinking about it. As we took your prayer requests during the month of May, and we got to read through some of your stories, there's so much happening right now in normal circumstances that we can't tell you about in this body with people, with things, with stuff. And I think to myself, I know it seems like it's the biggest hurdle you've ever faced, but God is bigger than that enemy. That bzzz, he's bigger than that fly. He's bigger than that thing that's got you wrapped up and bound, and he's bigger. And when we talk about this stuff, it's not just some cliche we're telling you. We've seen people walk out freedom when they've applied the word of the Lord. The last thing, number four, is spoiler alert. We win. We win! You win. It's already been established, been accomplished from before the foundations of the earth. He told us that we can overcome, that we win. Keep your peace. Be the person in your office, at your school, on your job, in your family. Oh my God, in your family. I didn't plan to share this, but at about 9:45 last night, I got a phone call from my sister who told me that a cousin that I had just gotten to visit for the first time in like 15, 16 years, last July, he taught me everything ever that you should not do. And so he had wore his body into a place through drugs and addictions and all the things, all the stuff that wore him out. He's only 57, young. He's young. 57, young guy. Found out last night that my man and family, if y'all are watching, we're praying for you. And the stuff that I spoke to y'all at the family reunion 1 year ago is still true. Your peace is found in a relationship with Jesus. Your peace, your ability to overcome all the things, is found in your connection to heaven. Willie Howard, which is what his name was, died last night. So I found out, no, I'm sorry, he died yesterday, but I found out last night. So he went on, and I'm believing God that the seeds that I got a chance to plant and sow and believe with him and minister to him. But one of the things he told me, because I was kind of like, I never had a brother, so he was kind of like my older brother. Because he taught me a lot of stuff, how to drive, stick shift, you know. I won't say the other stuff. He taught me some stuff. But he told me when I saw him last July, he said, Lindsay, I'm so proud of you. You're like my little brother. I'm proud of you because you never wavered from what it was that you believed. And to me, that's one of the greatest testimonies you can have, is just staying true to knowing who God is, staying faithful to God in front of your family. They're watching. They're taking notes, all the things. And you walk this thing out. And when you can go into those environments, they remarked about how when I went into my mom's funeral and I had to preach that service, can I tell you, this concept of peace was so real to me, I don't even know how to explain it. That verse that says peace that will surpass your ability to understand it, I stepped into such a grace, and it's just like, okay, God, this is on you. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to woosah. I'm going to get my heart rate back down to normal. And I'm going to leave it in your hands. Peace, peace, peace. I'm going to pray for some of you today with the second I have. But I sense God in the room again. I sense him here. And I know that there are people who have lost your peace. Just the ability to say, God, I don't have to understand it, but I trust you. And I believe for that space of being able to have the peace that's available to me. Brandon, could you play the bridge of Firm Foundation? Thank you. Do you guys feel God? Yes. Yeah, he's in the room. It's not weird. It's not spooky. Bow your heads, and we're going to pray. But I know, God, that as I know we joke about the fly and all the things, but I know that there are people who aren't necessarily, it's not their propensity to fight. But I'm asking you, God, in the name of Jesus, right here, right now, today, to wake up the warriors in this room. I'm asking you to help them to understand that this concept of warfare is just appropriating the promises that have been made to them. And I know that there's going to be a handful of people, but I'm talking about specifically some of you who literally have been under turmoil, duress, stress, pressure, squeezed, squashed, and you can't get a breath. You can't find that peace. I know like I know my name. My eyes are closed, but I'm about to open them. And if that is you and you want me to pray for you, you can stay there, but just lift up your hands because I'm going to pray for you. If that's you, lift up your hands right now. You're overcome. You can't find that peace. I see you. 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 Keep them high. Keep them high. Now, Father, I thank you. God, we know that life is tricky. And God, we know that there's so many times where we don't fully understand the beginning from the end, but you do. And God, I thank you that you promised us as your children all things that pertain unto life and godliness, which included that promise of peace. So these people who have lifted their hands right now in this building, those who are watching by way of technology, I ask you, God, right now to let the peace of God that surpasses their ability to understand guard their hearts and their minds. I ask you, God, for them to you, that you would show them the that's in their life. I thank you, God, that they would find the grace to attack that enemy with the word of God, with the knowledge of your promises. I thank you, Lord God, that they will sense and know that you're aiding them, that you're with them, that you help them, that you breathe in them and through them in their scenarios. And God, will be careful to give you glory because you want us to have that peace that surpasses our understanding. So we ask you for it. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, keep your heads bowed if you would. Real quick. If you don't know Jesus, man, he's the coolest thing in the world. If you've never had a moment to say, hey, Pastor Lindsay, I just want to know him. I want to have a relationship with him. Maybe I want to come back to him if I've known him before. I pulled away. I want to know. I want to connect with Jesus maybe for the first time or again. If that's you real quick, I want you to raise your hand because I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you if you're in the building. If you're in the building, thank you, Jesus. I see you. God, thank you. That's why we do what we do. We never leave here without that opportunity. So everybody just pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for being my peace. I submit my life, my will, my all to you. And I thank you for taking away my sin and my burden and replacing it with your presence. Come into my heart now. I receive you in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. If you got something out of that today, give him a hand. Give Jesus a hand.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you,